What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. We got a very interesting backstage report podcast. Lots of news across WWE, MLW, just Ring of Honor, all over the place. Plus, tons of contract info because we're getting news of those contract signings. Let's go ahead and get into it. How about some AEW-WWE crossover news? Yeah, I'm kicking off the backstage report with rumors of Snoop Dogg having heat from WWE. Oh, boy. Yeah, there's no heat between Snoop Dogg and WWE. There were a lot of people that were joking that Sasha Banks was going to get buried, yada, yada, because Snoop Dogg was doing the AEW stuff, and it was actually something that a lot of people wanted me to check in on, so I did, and I spoke to probably about a half dozen people in WWE, and none of them had even heard it mentioned that he was going to be on AEW. I mean, they knew because some of them watched the show, but they hadn't heard it mentioned within the confines of WWE. There was no heat. Most of the people that we heard from said they expected him to do something promotional with AEW, considering that he likes wrestling, and Cody Rhodes was a cast member with him on the Go Big show. And one source said that WWE doesn't have a deal with Snoop Dogg. They do not own him, so there's no reason for any sort of heat just because they've worked together in the past. So, I mean, that's cool. That should be how it exists and just how it is. But, yeah, no heat there. Well, there were some timing issues on Monday Night Raw. Oh, boy, if you guys thought it was weird the way that the Goldberg-Drew McIntyre thing ended up, there's a good reason for it. Now, I know that Brian Alvarez had mentioned some of this on, I think it was maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday show, but we've learned some more that went along with this. The show fell behind early, and they were already late for the show, and it had the two main event segment stars, Goldberg and Drew McIntyre, really pressed for time. They were not able to appropriately cut time during the show to make this. But if you thought that when Goldberg went out there and said Drew McIntyre disrespected all the legends, and that you thought that was weird, well, there's a reason for it. Drew McIntyre was supposed to have time to say something maybe disrespectful about the legends. Now, here's the thing. Most of the people that I spoke to don't like that story because Drew's whole thing has been about respect from the get-go. Now, the thing is, Goldberg's music played as soon as the match ended, so Drew McIntyre did not have time to set that up. And Goldberg delivered his lines as scripted. And there were, again, a lot of people backstage that wanted him to ad-lib, but they said you can't really be mad at Goldberg. He went out there and did exactly what he was told to do. And I have not heard that he was told ad-lib or anything like that. He was told, deliver these lines, further this storyline, let's get it going. Drew McIntyre, however, did have to ad-lib and add in the, that would be like fighting his dad line. Those that we had heard from were not mad about Goldberg's lack of ad-libbing. Again, he was asked to do something very specific and he went out and did it. And because of the timing issues associated with Monday Night Raw, they made Goldberg look bad. Now, I mean, I know we criticize his work an awful lot on the show, but they hosed Goldberg here. They didn't do that guy any favors by having that show run long. If anything, give him time to set it up, and you can run whatever happens after the cutoff on the next week's show, or on a digital clip, or something. They set Goldberg up to look stupid. And that ain't good. You don't want that out of a Goldberg. And I know a lot of people say, who's the babyface? Who's the heel? I don't care who's the babyface or who's the heel. I don't care about that. I just want it to make sense. And this didn't make sense. And it was not Bill Goldberg's fault that this didn't make sense. Hopefully they can kind of rectify this situation moving forward. Well, a situation that seems to have been rectified. There was in the past some heat between Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle, mainly from the Rollins side towards Riddle. There was a WWE draft special in which Seth Rollins was asked about Matt Riddle, and he said, well, I've got no plans on ever working with him, so I don't really have any thoughts on him. based on what we have heard, that was due to Matt Riddle's wife making some comments on social media about Becky Lynch that were less than flattering, to say the least, some body-shaming comments. I have spoken to many people that were backstage at Survivor Series, and they said it seemed as if the two had squashed the issue between them. Rollins did not look at Riddle during the entire match, but it was indicated to us that the two approach each other to discuss the issues and seem to have rectified them and left open to working with one another in the future. That's good. That's good news. And Riddle was said to have apologized for his wife's comments. So hopefully all is well with them and that those several reports I got from backstage were true. Men's Royal Rumble. So we're working on the Inside the Royal Rumble feature, and we are going to have a lot of Royal Rumble scoops of the past and present day over the next week. One of the things that I learned, according to the 2020 Royal Rumble participants, was that there was heavy influence from the field, the participants in the men's 2020 Royal Rumble match, but that Shane McMahon, Michael Hayes, and Jamie Noble all contributed to the match. Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of mentions on Inside the Royal Rumble of Pat Patterson because Pat Patterson and Royal Rumble are synonymous, but I think it's cool to kind of learn how these matches are put together, and that's what that feature is going to set out to do. There was a huge meeting. Then the participants who were going to be in the match towards the end split off into a smaller group and helped streamline that process. Well, MLW got a lot of MLW news. Court Bauer confirmed to me that MLW is hoping they can eventually get Fusion on the Thursday nights onto primetime. Many suspected that MLW was trying to ride the wave of NXT and AEW by moving from Saturdays to Wednesdays, but Court Bauer told me that he just wanted weekdays. He didn't necessarily care what night, he just wanted it on weeknights because they see increased engagement. And hopefully, they can end up on Thursdays in the future, according to Court Bauer. Now, they had their big Kings of Coliseum show last week. Now, the thing is, a lot of people were like, oh, well, that was intentional with all of the Raw Legends night and two nights of Wrestle Kingdom and New Year Dash and New Year's Evil and New Year's Smash with AEW. But Court says they only really knew about the New Japan show then. Everybody knows that it's January 4th and 5th. It's been that way for a long time. But other than that, he was planning this in September and it all came together like that. And it was a battle of either trying to get noticed or elbow your way into it. So he'd rather kind of stand alone in that regard. But if you thought that seemed a little bit weird with the scheduling, that's why. Now, he also said that as we spoke to him last Tuesday, that he was sandwiched in between a couple of Zoom meetings with Tier 1 networks about the potential of joining. And when I asked him about this, he said it was for new content. I couldn't have imagined that they would be doing MLW with MLW Fusion with DAZN, Fubo, BN Sports, YouTube, and a Tier 1 network. So he did confirm to me that would be for a new program. He called BN a long-term partner. Now, I don't know what he considers a Tier 1 network, but he did sort of explain it. But, I mean, you know, Tier 1 could mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. So I don't necessarily want to speak for him in that regard. Court also spoke for himself about the Cody Hall situation. Cody Hall was brought into MLW and then released. Court said that they brought him back or brought him in the fall, and they did let him go. There were some issues that they couldn't move past, and that Cody said that he couldn't move forward with it, and they granted him his release. They had their eye on Cody Hall as far back as 2018 for a spot in Dynasty, but that didn't end up happening. They courted Hall for 2 years, but Bauer said that the fit wasn't good for either side. But he also stated there was no animosity between he and Cody Hall, and anything is possible for the future. He's big on second chances, as we've seen with a lot of his stuff. I mean, there are a lot of wrestlers that they brought into MLW that didn't have good reputations and ended up doing very good work in MLW. So I think that's a likely landing point for him if they can hash things out. Ethan Page, he is advertised this weekend for Hard to Kill against Karate Man, but he is already gone from the company. His contract is up. It is expired. He will not be at the pay-per-view as of right now. And we were told the match was actually filmed 2 months ahead of time when they were at the November tapings. Most of the show will be filmed this weekend. A lot of the roster is coming in on Friday, and they're taping through the early part of next week. But Ethan Page is not scheduled to be there right now. I mean, they could always offer him money to come down for the tapings or something like that and try to do something. But for now, that's it. Ring of Honor news. Maria Manic. I have a lot of people asking about Maria Manic, and I was kind of curious myself. She had a breakout performance at ROH Final Battle 2019. Looked like they should build the company around her type of thing. And then she barely wrestled in 2020 when she got a concussion. She had signed a big new contract in late 2019, leveraged a WWE tryout against them, but has not wrestled since February. And a lot of people were wondering, is she even still with the company? She is. I mean, that contract was a multi-year deal in late 2019. So she's at least signed through fall 2021, at least. But I was told that she actually was in the ROH bubble for a recent set of tapings, even though she didn't wrestle during them. And I had people say that she looked very happy and healthy and better than she had in a very long time. So, that's good to hear. After all that she's been through this year, or not this year, 2020 in general, it's good to hear that Maria Manic is doing good. Marty Scurll, not doing so good. He has departed from Ring of Honor. And it did not seem like much of a surprise to those that we spoke with. And they weren't surprised that it took this long either. Due to the nature of Ring of Honor as a company and being owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, getting rid of a corporate employee is not that easy. He had certain protections and a huge deal. And among those that we spoke to, they felt pretty sure back in September that when he was removed from the online roster that he wouldn't be back. And I'll remind you, he and Deonna Purrazzo used to date. Normally I'd say, that doesn't matter. We're not reporting on that. Who gives a shit? Well, it matters when Ring of Honor, 3 days after he was removed from that roster page, reached out to Deonna Purrazzo while she's Impact champion and said, hey, what do you think about coming in? And they reached out to quite a few people from what I understand. But that's one that I think that they would probably not have reached out to if they thought that he was going to be sticking around, especially in the role that he was originally intended for. There were a lot of people in the locker room that thought he should be given a second chance, but plenty that just wanted to see him leave. He is still in Orlando at the moment. He has not been to any of the ROH tapings. So he's done, and nobody has any idea where he's going to go, if he can go anywhere, the terms of them parting ways. But I'd be very, very surprised if he ended up anywhere anytime soon. Before we get to injuries, I had a couple questions that I actually missed on the Q&A show, and I wanted to answer them. Manny said, with Eva Marie signing, do you think they didn't have her come back at Legends Night? Because they wanted to have her return be more impactful, like the Rumble or something like that. Yeah, I think that makes sense, but I can't really speak to exactly why it is they didn't have her come back. She was scheduled to be there. She was at the December 14th tapings, but there were many people, as we know now, that were scheduled to be there and then weren't. There were a whole lot of people that, quite frankly, they didn't even really ask to be there. They just advertised them anyway and then just didn't show up. There was no Jacqueline. There was no Ivory. There was no Candice Michelle or Carlito. Basically, a lot of the people that you don't usually see were not there. Melina was maybe an exception to that rule. Tori comes back all the time. Not that big of a deal. But yeah, I think that it would make sense for them to save it to the Rumble. I don't need her as we know of her on a weekly show. Jake had a few questions. Where does Tanahashi's hair rank all time? It's probably number one. He's got the greatest hair. Any idea on the Wrestle Kingdom ramp length at the Dome, and how's it compare to the Mania ramps at stadiums? It is not as long as most of the Mania ramps, but I don't know the exact length. Mania 33, he said, stood out to him recently for ramp. Yeah, that one was insane. And then he says, what was your sleep schedule like during Wrestle Kingdom? And have you fully recovered from all-nighters? Thanks for all the coverage, especially this week. I think I have. I actually took off this weekend. Myself and Jeremy both did, and Robert did as well. I caught about a 20-minute nap Sunday evening, and I stayed up all the way through Wrestle Kingdom. Slept until 10, so I got a few hours of sleep. Had to get some things in order. Had to push back my recording with Kenny McIntosh for Monday Night Live, and did the show all through Raw. And I tried to sleep between midnight and 3 a.m. for night two. It did not happen. I got about 50 minutes of sleep, and then I watched the show, went to bed, slept till about 11 Tuesday, I think, maybe 10 or 11. So I got a few hours of sleep there. I had an interview scheduled with Court. I did that. Got a little bit of a nap, but then that night I didn't watch New Year's Dash, so I slept in Wednesday. Well, slept in. It was like 9:30, 10. And then Thursday, I really caught up on sleep. Like, I just didn't even bother waking up early Thursday. Yeah, boring story for a lot of you, but yeah, I'm pretty well recovered from that. I covered so much UFC, and like, there would be Bellator nights that were kind of late, and then UFC nights that were late, and then maybe a WWE pay-per-view that was late, that I kind of got used to this. Well, injury report time. Sonya Deville has returned. She is in a non-wrestling capacity right now as an assistant to Adam Pearce. That's going pretty good. I'm liking that. Mickie James is on Legends Night. Supposedly, she's cleared. She had a broken nose back in September. I hope that we see her back in the ring soon. I'm not done watching Mickie James wrestle, man. She is so good. Recently, Shayna returned to AEW. Not necessarily brand new news, but I hadn't updated it on this show, so I wanted to. She had been stuck overseas. We removed Shibata from the injury list. Yeah, I think that after... we didn't have him on there, and then when he got physical in that angle a couple years ago, we put him back on the injury list because we were like, okay, well, maybe they're priming for something. It's been like almost 4 years now. I think it's safe to just move him off the list, sadly. Kylie Rae, she's back on Cameo doing some stuff, but she did not appear at Impact Bound for Glory 2020 and said she's done with wrestling. But you know what? I wanted to give an update because she is on Cameo. Go over and buy a Cameo from her. Support the woman. She's been through an awful lot. Contract news. So Jerry Lawler in 2019 announced he had signed a new 2-year deal with WWE. And it was January 10th, 2019 when he had announced that. So unless they extended that deal, it would be up now. I can't say whether or not he has extended that deal. I don't have an idea. Ring of Honor, a lot of nondescript re-signings here. Bandido, big name for the company. A lot of people did not think that he was going to end up re-signing with them. I'm sure they're happy to have him back. Bateman has re-signed. He is a member of Righteous. So they've got him back. Sumi Sakai, who is more important than you would even realize. Like, even from an in-ring perspective, like, she's helping train people. And get people ready at the ROH Dojo as well. Amy Rose, she is serving as a member of basically LIJ ROH. Brian Johnson, he is sort of in that loudmouth, always gets beat role, unfortunately for him. Tracy Williams is also re-signed. He is very important to that Pure division that they're working on right now. And then Mark Haskins, full of personality. He's been sidelined because of the coronavirus restrictions, but I think he's got a world title shot that he's owed as well. But ROH re-signing Tracy Williams, Mark Haskins, Bandido, Bateman, Brian Johnson, Amy Rose, Sumi Sakai, that's an awful lot. That is a big shot in the arm for them just to keep those people, and probably a good time for them to be able to keep those people. We expect more contract news to emerge this week, but make sure you keep it locked to FightfulSelect.com. We'll have more on that. Until next time, we're out.